Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Report. It is the dynamic 10th of August. And Michelle, you have lots of announcements. Starting from the top, what's the new announcements coming on? By the way, we're actually only 3 weeks away from probably the biggest sale of the year, which is Labor Day sale. Of course, we major holidays, we have sales. And that one's going to be coming up the end of August, early September, isn't it?
Yes, it will. And it's going to be for a whole week, of course, because that's a big, big, big sale, Labor Day. So I'm surprised you're talking about it already. Don't forget to order today.
Yeah,
forget the sale. Think about that later.
I want to talk about Gerard, who came in and actually visited us here from Orange County. He came down and got a metaphyseal scan.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to deal with that later, but I want you to talk about
announcement. You said you wanted to talk about it now.
No, I just want to announce what we're going to do. It's going to be quite a discussion on him, and we'll probably use part of a segment. But yeah, you have some other announcements, Michelle. Anything else?
Well, I'd like to talk about Gerard right now if you want to. I don't care. Otherwise, I'd like to talk about myself.
Oh.
I have something about myself.
Okay, go ahead.
That I wanted to ask you, and I started to ask you before I went on the air because I haven't asked you till, of course, right now. I don't see Bill very often, so I'm actually seeing you to ask you a question. What happened to me a couple days ago is I really enjoy. I'm close enough to the microphone.
Yeah, I know you've got a delicate.
Stop it!
And
just because I got it. You know what? I have a story, and you're going to try to.
No, I want you to be a little louder. That's all.
I'm loud enough. Remember when you said I wasn't loud? I had a few listeners call me and say, "Michelle, you're loud. I can hear you plain as day."
Okay, that's good.
I
have the mic over towards you, so that's good. Okay, go ahead, please.
Stop it.
Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Stop you that.
I'm stopping. Go ahead.
This is a story. Now, if you let me. Now, you know what you do? I'm surprised I don't stutter living with you for 33 years because it's so hard to get a whole sentence out without going, "Ah! I got something to say to you. Oh, I want to cut you off."
Good thing you don't have dementia. Otherwise, I'm confused, right? But you don't. Go ahead.
Okay. Stop saying go ahead. A couple days ago, I was eating my peanut butter. I probably said before how much I love sourdough bread and all that stuff. But I was in a hurry and I was really busy. So I just, took a knife, right, and stuck it into the peanut butter jar, which is the organic peanut butter, which you have to put in the fridge, so it's hard as rocks, but it tastes great, because there's nothing in it but just peanuts, right, mashed up and everything. So anyways, I was hungry, so I took a knife and I, scooped it in and had a big mouthful, and that wasn't enough, so then I went back and got another knife and stuck it in, had a great big mouthful.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so I must have had about four of them. Usually,
so you weren't on video when this is happening, right? No, you weren't on a reality TV.
You know what
mic.
Peanut butter's like, it's stuck to your mouth and it's different, but it tasted so good. It was so good.
Yeah.
Anyways, just a few minutes after that, my mouth feels funny in the top of my mouth, in the corner of my mouth is feeling funny, and I go, geez, am I allergic to peanut butter now?
No, if you had an allergy, your mouth would have swollen your airway.
Okay, well, let's find out what's going on. So I came in here just a few minutes ago for the show and started to ask you, which I said, okay, I'll ask you on the air. For a change, I'll ask something about myself. on the air, and that is, Bill, I've got a little crack. Did you look at it? Look at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I see that, yeah.
A little sore. In the, it's not a cold sore. And I've never had a cold sore in my life, so it's not
right.
That. So I've never had those, but just a little crack since eating all that peanut butter. What's going on, Dr. Deagle?
Well, there's
happening?
There's a number of things when you eat foods in general. If you're not familiar with, say, hot foods, you can actually get trauma to your buccal mucosa or your lips. So people aren't familiar with, say, habanero peppers or whatever, or food. Peanut butter tends to be very acid. So the acidity of it can itself burn your mouth or whatever. That's number one. Number two, peanuts themselves are very allergenic. But if you have a true peanut allergy, it's catastrophic.
Okay.
Like people end up having to have EpiPens if they have a catastrophic allergy to peanuts.
Okay.
Or your air would swell up, like your lips would be like, you look like you're one of those people that just came out of plastic surgery in Hollywood.
Right.
And
so
you
it's
go,
not that.
Don't I have nice big lips now? And you know.
So it's not that.
No. So the most likely thing is acidity. Now peanuts, if they're not properly processed and the shells can grow fungi, they create aflatoxins. And that's where peanut allergy gets really going.
Would it be worse with organic peanut butter? Because they don't put any junk in it. It's just
no, not peanut. Worse, no. The fact is they process and remove all the shells. Most likely what happened is you had trauma from either the knife or you actually, the acidity
no,
actually burned your lip.
No, I didn't put a knife in.
No, no.
You know what kind of knife it is? It's our
butter
knife.
No, what I'm saying is that if you have something very acidic and you put it to parts of your mouth sometimes, especially if it's concentrated not on a piece of bread and so on, it can actually burn it. It's extremely unlikely it's allergy, because if it's allergy,
it'll
swell up.
No, I know it's not allergy, but could it? You said there could be fungus in the peanut.
No. That's the aflatoxins are something your body can detox in your liver. And if you have good organic peanut butter that's properly processed, it's not going to be a problem. The problem is the peanuts themselves are allergenic, and if you have a peanut allergy, you know right away, because an immediate reaction, IgE, will swell up your airways and make you have an asthma attack.
Okay.
And any EpiPen, or number two, delayed reaction will cause irritable gut syndrome and things like SIBO.
That was 2 days. I thought it'd be gone by now. So today I started putting silver on.
I would put on that area also a little bit of GastroHeal. Chew a tablet and put some of the tablet up there, and that'll heal.
Why?
Zinc carnosine.
Why?
What it does is it creates a barrier to help the mucosa heal. The other thing that helps you heal buccal mucosa is the CoQ10 ubiquinol. You bite one and have the gel, and then rub the gel.
Oh, I can't do that. I can't.
Or even just take a squeeze or squeeze out some on your fingertip, and just rub a little bit of the gel on your.
I could do that.
Yeah,
squeeze it on my fingertip.
You can put a corn skewer into the end of the CoQ10 Supreme ubiquinol, not the regular.
That's the one I just took this morning.
Yeah, well, what you do is you puncture it and put a little bit on the fingertip and rub it on the area, and it'll heal.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
How long will it take to get better? I want to be better by
less than 24 hours.
I want to be better by
tonight. There's no tissue heals.
Yeah.
No tissue heals faster than your buccal mucosa in your mouth, because whenever you're eating food, you can get cut.
It's not in your mouth, it's in the corner.
Well, that's the corner of your lip. Your lips and your buccal mucosa in your mouth will heal, even if with a big laceration, within 5 days. It's amazing.
You can't even see it, can you? I had to show it to you.
Yeah.
It's that tiny. But
okay,
that's how much of a baby I am. Oh, I got a little pig in the corner.
Yeah, but I'm still, I guess, I'm not even your husband, I'll see your doctor.
You right? are. And I thank God for that.
Yeah, I thank God for me being my own doctor. Thank God, because I won't let doctors do stupid stuff, even if I see them.
Yeah.
I restrain them. I put the doggy choke chain on their stupidity.
Oh, don't say that. You say that every week.
Anyway, here's the point. We had a gentleman come by, Gerard.
Yes, we did.
Now, Gerard is a longtime friend, and he ended up, he's had a small bowel and intestinal overgrowth for years, and we've tried to give him supplements, but he's taken them on and off. He came in, I did a Metatron or Metapathia scan on him, besides reviewing his medical history. He also had a QRMA for him and his wife. I reviewed everything, did a Metapathia scan, because he had seen his doctor, and they ordered a CT scan by a PA where he is in California here. And the CT, they said, thought had a 5-centimeter pancreatic tail cancer with secondary metastases to his liver. Now, my Metapathia scan did not show anything in his liver, but it did show he had lesions in the tail of the pancreas, and what's locally going on is a pancreatic, long chronic recurring pancreatitis. Now, you have to understand that cancer is basically, I use a metaphor so that people understand it, but cancer is a fungus, basically, in a target, which is your breast or prostate or brain or whatever, and other viruses and bacteria. And the tissue is trying to escape the stress of these pathogens, so they do genetic changes to themselves to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And the best analogy I use is what I call the prepper analogy, where you guys in 5 tours of duty with special forces, a Navy SEAL. He's got an IQ 200. He's a billionaire. His papa was a billionaire and passed all the money to him. and he's paranoid, so he thinks they're trying to, the government's trying to kill him, which is like your body. So what the cancer cells are is they're not weak cells, they're super strong cells. They're trying to survive a stressful environment.
I hope you get a better analogy than
that. No, that's the best one.
You said that one before. I don't even get it.
Well, what it means is cancer cells are not weak cells. They're super strong. And they're trying to survive a stressful environment with acidity, hypoxia, acidosis, heavy metals, radio toxins, viruses, fungi-producing aflatoxins, like we mentioned from peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And the cells then try to survive by changing their cell-to-cell contact so they stop being prevented from dividing by tendation touching other tissue. They lengthen their telomeres so they become immortalized. They decide to metastasize to other tissues through the lymphatics.
Mm-hmm.
So what we found out actually on him is that none of the tests showed that. Again, remember, whenever you have cool cancer, it's an infection with a genetic expression of escape by the tissue. So the current approach to cancer is completely wrong-headed. So I'll be setting him up for a bunch of treatments we'll talk about when we come back that we can range. Nutrimeds are number one, and I want to go over those, like ellagic acid, malignant block, Seroflozyme, Inflamax, Myco-D2, etc. We'll come back and we'll go over the details. Summarize those four things. And number one, he'll need our nutrimeds, and I'll just give a quick list. He'll need malignant block, ellagic acid, Seroflozyme, Inflamax, Myco-D2, high dose Power C, and antipathogenics, because again, all cancer is multipathogenic. Nutridyne, Allicin Med, NutriSilver, Nutrimune 26Y, and NutriDefense.
Mm-hmm.
And then he will need number two. He'll need to do the RGCC test to get insulin potentiated chemo. He'll get the third generation GCMAF, which is granulocyte macrophage activation factor, and I'll refer him to the Izos Clinic in Tijuana for a dendritic vaccine. That's a vaccine to help his body's immune cells fight the cancer. So that's the kind of comprehensive care, and I coordinate with other clinics and so on. So no matter what your problem, whether it's orthopedic or whatever, I do medical, legal, and regular medical consults, either where they come actually visit or fly in here or drive in here from hours away. Or we can do them where they're anywhere in the country or outside the country. Germany, South Africa, doesn't matter where. Okay?
Okay, Bill. Karen from Missouri. Hi, Karen. Talked with her this week, and she has a praise report for you, Dr. Bill, about the Nutridyne for her husband. And I haven't heard that Nutridyne did this, but she just started him on it a couple of months ago, and he's had severe heartburn, and now he doesn't have heartburn. Why?
Because it knocks those things like Helicobacter pylori, Dientemia fragilis, and other pathogens that can cause breakdown of the gastric mucosal and esophageal barrier, mm-hmm. and can cause esophagitis. And if it's left long enough, it can cause a Barrett's esophagus that can turn to cancer. And it's a very vicious cancer. If you take a person that has 20 years of hiatal hernia or chronic gastroesophagitis that shows up positive with changes in the cell on biopsy with an endoscopic exam with a bowel specialist,
mm-hmm.
in 20 years, it's a pretty significant increase in risk of esophageal cancer. And by the time they diagnose it, usually it's metastasized to the hyla. And if you go to the conventional doctors, your chances are you're going to, as they say in the parlance of the funeral industry, you're going to bite it.
Well, this week I got to talk to our dear friend Tom from Scotland.
Wonderful.
And I put him through.
Great guy.
Just to say hi.
He's a funny guy, too.
It's real, but you know, it's funny, it's with the heartburn thing. I don't know if the heartburn's the thing for this week, but Tom was telling me that he takes berberstatin.
Berberstatin, the reason is berberstatin will kill off the pathogens. It's an antipathogenic. So it helps get rid of things like Helicobacter pylori. The Australian doctor about 25 years ago discovered it, because we used to think it was caused by hyperacidity and so on, which is garbage. So when the pharmaceutical industry basically hydrogen, you know, H2 blockers, and they their proton pump inhibitors, everybody and their dog are kind of telling you, hey, just eat as hot food as you want and just take your proton pump inhibitor. Problem is, when you do that, you actually knock out your absorption of minerals and you don't digest your food, so you end up with undigested food and bacteria and other pathogens getting down to your small bowel.
So you're getting worse.
Which can cause gallbladder disease, pancreatitis, and even cancer.
So which would you pick for heartburn? Nutridyne or berberstatin? I've got two.
Berberstatin.
Yeah.
That was the
and
first
by the way, Tom was saying that he, remember our old Cognition Ignition? That was someone else's product that we used to sell like 6-7 years ago, whatever
right.
it was. Of course, now we have the Cognition Plus, our product.
Yes, yeah, better
product. Tom says he used to have to take 3 of the old Cognition Ignition, and now he just takes 1 Cognition.
That's right, because our formula is stronger. Just like we've also upgraded formulas like the Prostate Flow last fall, Mince Max Plus. Mm-hmm. We're always working on upgrading formulas, too. So you'll hear periodic announcements that we've changed or upgraded the formula.
Now, with Gerard, back to Gerard real, real quick, you did say that... I think you're referring him over to Dr. Winkler
yeah,
and some
other
people.
He's seeing a conventional doc. He's going to see a gastroenterologist to get a spiral thin section, CT, and PET scan to determine if it is cancer. Because remember, cancer is a fungus infection. It's still cancer. Okay. And so I don't want him to get paint by numbers chemo. I want him to have testing. So, he's going to see Dr. Winkler, who's going to do IPT, insulin potentiated chemo, after he does the RGCC test in Greece. So... You know, I know how to meld together what's effective in imaging studies or conventional surgery and when to say no. Like, I don't want radiation therapy or proton therapy. I want them to get targeted low-dose chemo with an insulin drip so that the chemo goes directly to his cancer cells only if he has cancer.
So the PET scan will tell us...
If the lesions on the CT are hot, they're cancer.
If they're hot,
and on metabolically with the fluorodeoxypositronic glucose.
And if they're not, they're...
Then they're not, or probably granuloma or infection, because he's got amoeba, all kinds of pathogens showed up in the Metatron. I can also do a test called the GI map, which actually measures by PCR the genetic signature of the DNA of pathogens in his gut through his blood. We can actually do a GI map test to tell what other pathogens he's growing in his system, because he's loaded. He's got so many ugly pathogens, it's mind-boggling. It's like... He crawls through every sewer in every third world country to get them. I don't know how he got them, but he's got, like, unbelievable pathogens in his gut.
Doesn't travel that much, does he?
Well, whatever he's eating or whatever, it's not good.
Okay. Bev from Illinois. Hi, Bev. Bev says, thanks so much for your time and assistance today. I enjoy talking to you very much. I have had many blessings in my life. You and Dr. Bill are among them, so thanks for all you do. I have been looking for ways to help my body repair itself and making a healthier me since I turned 50. Did I read this one before? It looks, sounds awful familiar, Beth. Either that or I read it 2 or 3 times in this past week.
It probably sounds similar to many comments you have from people. What's your specific issue?
She says, I knew there had to be someone out there who would know what to do, so I kept praying. I just needed to find that person. I believe I have, finally. You've been an answer to my prayers, and seeing healthcare as I see it from a nurse's perspective.
Yeah, she's been a nurse for, I think, 35 years.
I just knew this wasn't how God would have us care for one another or for ourselves. There had to be something better. I just knew it. And I've been praying for 15 years. Well, thank you. That's wonderful.
There you go.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, she's a nice lady, and... She'll be getting a full consultation tomorrow, which is where I do a metapathia scan, review her 11-page history form, look at all her medical records and images and lab work, and record it all on video and send her through Dropbox share file, see the entire video and all of the images and so on and analysis we do.
I know why it sounds familiar. Remember last week we had the horses. We're talking about Bev and her horses
right.
last week. So Bev, you're on the show again this week.
There you go. She's,
maybe next
she's,
week send me
she's
another
becoming
email.
She's becoming a telemedicine star. How's that?
Jeannie Bill in an email.
Uh-huh.
Dear Dr. Bill and Michelle, as an avid listener and customer for years, I've come to trust your expert opinions and advice for different medical situations. My daughter, Michelle, has now had 3 miscarriages and has been thoroughly tested to find out why this has happened. She is 34 years old and in very good health. The only thing they could find was that she has the MTHFR gene mutation.
Mesotetrahydrofolate reductase.
Okay.
SNP, or polymorphism of DNA converting folic acid to the 5-methylfolate.
Her fertility specialist doctor has suggested that she take a low dose of aspirin daily, and as soon as she confirms another pregnancy, that she start twice daily heparin injections. Our family has many concerns about this course of actions. I trust your products. I hope you can give us a safe and effective protocol that can be taken.
Well, the first thing is I would do a test through Genova Labs, which is a 28-day test of looking at her hormone cycle, to look at all of her hormones. Estrogen, progesterone, and we get multiple data points so we can see if she's cycling properly and ovulating. And she also has to keep a digital thermometer or gerotherm thermometer to keep a digital body temperature chart. Because when you ovulate, you're going to get bump at least half a degree Celsius. Once we do that, we also want to make sure she's had the proper studies to make sure she has no fimbriae problems or ovaries like scarring or pelvic inflammatory disease. And if she has omen punctum between the uterine body and the fimbriae, and everything looks healthy on, say, a laparoscopic or imaging studies. Then we...
Could you do a high-resolution ultrasound?
It'll tell us if there's scar tissue there. Yeah, it'll help. Yeah. That this lady is ovulating, the next stage is, does she have enough levels of human chorionic gonadotropin to maintain pregnancy in the first trimester, which, by the way, the placenta makes. And you can measure HCG levels to see if she has adequate levels. Mm-hmm. You can increase her levels of transdermal DHEA and pregnenolone cream, mm-hmm. which will increase the chances of a implantation and ovulation. We have those creams you can use in a cycle, use 3 weeks of the progesterone cream, and then you stop it abruptly at the time when there's a temperature change, and that'll help ovulation. And you also use the other two creams, DHEA and pregnenolone, besides progesterone, so that it helps you to cycle. Now, if it's HCG, human chorionic gonadotropin, it's interesting that our red deer velvet DR has analogous hormones to maintain pregnancy. Because,
oh, really?
Yeah, because it's our formula is the first patented formula in the world in human history that returns you to the fetal state. And it'll support pregnancy, so she should be taking it beforehand. Now also, if she's hypothyroid or has a chronic pelvic infection like a PID, we call it, viral or whatever, or chlamydia, you need to clean those up, because if she has those, the frimbi have to grab the ovulated ova that's been fertilized in her pelvis and then pull it toward the fallopian tubes, and then it goes down the tube to the body of the uterus and then has to implant. So if she's had fallopian tube or the frimbi are infected by viruses, we can clear those up with NutriDefense and our other antipathogenics. What I would do is first do a transabdominal and pelvic ultrasound to make sure she has no disease, do tests to make sure she has no chronic PID, pelvic inflammatory disease, make sure her hormones are okay, make sure she's getting a temperature change, and support her with hormone support with the transdermal creams and with the red deer velvet DR. And that will help improve her chances of fertility and ovulation.
Interestingly, we have another question today from Mindy. She sent this question from her iPhone.
Right.
And she says, hello, my husband ordered a package of peptides for me before we do IVF. Is that in vitro?
In vitro fertilization.
I noticed the prescription is 1 to 2 pills a day with 20 pills total. She got the ovarian peptides.
Yeah, the thing is, when people are ordering peptides, what I tell people is they have to have a consult. You don't just order peptides and say, hey, I'm going to go order peptides from Deagle.
Well, her question is this. Should I take them now, the peptides, or should I wait till I'm closer to the IVF date?
Well, first off, she shouldn't be taking peptides until she does all the things I already mentioned. You don't do level 6 when you haven't done level 1, 2, 3. You haven't taken the creams, haven't tested your temperature, haven't ruled out PID, pelvic
inflammatory. That's why now you have a consult.
Yeah, they have to have a consult if you get peptides or epigenetic frequency therapy. You can't order it without getting a consultation. And it's usually 2 time-minutes to start with. I need the 11-page history form and any, if I need to, Citrix share file for HIPAA compliance for the medical records. I can review everything. Ultrasounds, MRI scans, toxicology, infectious disease stuff, antibodies, you name it, I can review it.
Now, I have a question from Michelle again today. This is one for me, talking about all this in vitro. Isn't that where you try to fertilize in a dish and then put it inside you afterward? You fertilize outside, and then they put the eggs, they try to put them inside you after they're fertilized in a dish?
In vitro fertilization is actually what we could call mechanical fertilization and reimplantation, right? And with IVF, you basically you get some ova, and then you take any embryos that develop, and you then transplant them back in using a simple procedure to actually go through the os of the cervix and actually inject them. So it's really
but you don't try to fertilize it.
Well, what they're doing is they're fertilizing them with sperm from the husband, and then they actually have fertilized egg.
But that's almost, those are little baby, potential babies.
That's right. That's why there's a great deal of...
Aren't they potential babies?
Yes, that's right. That's right. And I disagree with that. And here's the problem is, you're truly human and genetically distinct from the mother from the moment of conception. And the problem is they might want to say a limit, like, you know, 6 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever. No, as soon as it's fertilized, and that includes, by the way, even if they do a punch biopsy or forearm, they now know how to make, for male or female, especially males are easier because they have both the male genes and the female, you can have two homosexual guys and they can actually create a clone of themselves or even a recombinant of themselves.
Oh, that's nasty.
And now, 3 years ago, the British have actually discovered that you can actually make a new baby in vitro genetically by splicing together the parents of up to 30-some parents with different chromosomes. So, to me, this is the brave new world of craziness.
It's evil.
Yes, evil, and it's scary. And in fact, it's the rise of what I call the human zootopia, where you may start splicing human genes to have, you know, ability for animals to communicate like humans with vocal cords and everything. It's very scary stuff.
Okay.
Right?
Next here is David in an email. And David, I know that you are a regular customer. I just do not know where you're from to be able to say where you're from, but you know who you are. Mm-hmm. So it's good day, sir. That's to you, Dr. Bill. My basic question is, which of the following can be taken pre, peri, and post-op? And because he's having face surgery procedure. Oh, I remember, David. Yeah, face surgery procedure. Remember that, Bill?
Right.
So he's taking, you're taking a lot of NutriMeds already. Look, he's taking all those already.
Well, he's worried that some of them he shouldn't take before surgery. The only ones that you need to be concerned about that might reduce blood viscosity would be the Cardiovasc, which you want to stop 3 to 4 days beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I would, basically everything else is perfectly safe.
Everything that he has there.
Everything he has there is fine.
Natokinase, you wouldn't take that either if you were taking it.
No, Natokinase you can just stop the day before. You don't have to worry about it. But the Cardiovascular has ginkgo biloba. But the Natokinase you can stop the day before or 2 days before is fine. And basically all the nutrients are going to help him heal faster, especially if he starts immediately after surgery.
He says that his provider there says that indicates that all inflammatories, I should say, should be stopped 2 weeks before.
No, doctors, that's if you have some toxic like ibuprofen or Voltaren or something like that. So
Right.
These are not nonsteroidal. These are natural anti-inflammatories. For example, Inflamex is a Wobenzyme N formula 10 times stronger with Seraflozyme, which is from the Serratia peptidase bacteria, and we have a separate Serratia called Seraflozyme, and they simply will break down abnormal tissue adhesions between various fascial planes and so on. So, no, you can just stop those the day before surgery, and it's fine.
I'm Lori from Campbell River up in British Columbia.
Uh-huh.
That's on Vancouver Island.
Yes, beautiful up there, isn't it?
Victoria, yes. I remember being there when I was about mid-20s. Out to visit friends. It was so beautiful, so nice.
Right.
Dear Dr. Deagle, I am interested in more information on how you use the epigenetic frequency therapy. How many sessions? How much time? Does it run all the time? And to minimize the negative effects of the 20 smart meters in our business building utility closet next to our unit. Ooh, wow.
Well, the first thing you should do is, number one, get a blocking wall from Less EMF, and you can actually put the drywall up pretty quickly.
No, this is at her work. She can't do that when you're working in an office. Say you're working for SDG or something.
No, your desk is on the other side of that wall. You can put up a wall or a blocking material, and you want to ground it. You can put a blocking curtain to block it, because that radiation is going to come through there, and you want to block it and ground it.
So you could. They'd probably let you do that.
Right, you can do. They can pin it to the wall. Anyway, the next thing is what is epigenetic frequency therapy? Well, what the toxins are doing is they're silencing your genes. Because think of it this way: if you walk into a room and there's a party and people aren't drunk yet, but they're starting to get louder because as people eat more and get drunk, you notice they get louder and louder, right? Well, what happens is the same thing's going on with your DNA. What life is a dance between biophotons and ion channels. So it's like going into a party where the room's so loud, your genes can't tell your messenger RNA to make structural proteins and enzymes. So there's actually what's called gene silencing occurring because you're silencing the biophotons by noise in the background. That's what electropollution does. So what the epigenetic frequency does is the main cross-talk between your genes and your ion channels is the plasma resonance of minerals and amino acids and their resonant frequency. And they actually tell the genes which genes to turn on. So if, for example, you give the resonant frequency for zinc, zinc metalloenzymes are stimulated to be made, and there's hundreds of enzymes depending on magnesium or zinc or you know, cobalt for vitamin B12, right? You need cobalt for to make B12. So if you have the cobalt resonant frequency, you make B12, which helps methylation.
To purchase the epigenetic frequency machine, you need a consult as well.
You need a consult for that, yeah. Yeah, and then I explain everything and how to use it.
Yes. Pretty right. Complicated.
More information and questions from the host of the most, which is Michelle.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Malcolm from New York State. Dear Dr. Bill, regarding a colonoscopy to be done this week, my friend urged me to call and ask if there was an alternative. I am a very active 72-year-old, and my doc recently prescribed Eliquis after my having two TIA biliary typing.
This is urgent. Go ahead. There's something I had to do urgently. But anyway, go ahead. I'm listening to you.
You're typing Pam. Hi, Pam, up there in Illinois.
She can wait.
She's probably working right now.
Yeah.
Be good. Stop that.
Anyway, go ahead.
There's no point in reading this if you're not going
to
listen.
No, I had to send that to her. It was urgent. By the way, is that machine
not
frequency?
Urgent.
Well, it was because our gentleman actually needs the frequencies because he was in hypotensive heart failure.
Do it during the commercial.
Well, I was starting in the commercial. I just had to finish it.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, finish it in the next
You're
commercial.
Wasting time, sweetie. Go ahead.
No, you're wasting time. It was not me that was typing.
I'm multitasking.
Listen to this. This is interesting. I mean, he sounds like he's in great shape and everything, but did you hear me say that he was prescribed Eliquis?
Mm-hmm.
After having two TIA episodes. See, it's important you listen. Within 5 days, he had two TIA. Isn't that like the mini strokes or something, TIAs?
Well, it's not. If you have a stroke, you have residual neurological. TIA means you kind of have a spell, but you get over it in a matter of minutes.
So what is TIA?
Transient ischemic attacks.
Okay.
Now, there's two causes. One is vasospasm, the other is microemboli, like platelet, you know, like microemboli of little clots.
Okay. I had a referral to a cardiologist who wants to stop and restart my heart to help atrial fibrillation. For many years, I have had what I call racers and took them in stride as I have a busy lifestyle, work out, and have a healthy diet. So far, I have not agreed to the heart restart idea. I canceled the colonoscopy, and I've never had one. He said, my main concern is nerve pain in both legs like needles on the bottom of both feet.
Okay, he has multiple problems. First, he probably has peripheral neuropathy. We use Neurogen, Omega Supreme Pro. We use Ultrathiamin B1, and we want to regenerate the nerve fiber tracts. We'll be using probably our Red Deer Velvet DR, as well as what's called the special peptides for regeneration. But he needs a consult, and Lumen Photon Therapy.
Mm-hmm.
As far as his heart and atrial fibrillation, that usually means he's had chronic hypertension. He's got mineral imbalances causing inflammation of the sinoatrial node, so he's got some conduction pathway problems. And vitamin K2 will help decalcify the conduction pathway because that's the primary thing. You're getting calcification of the conduction pathway. So vitamin K2, natokinase to reduce blood viscosity and cytokine levels, cardiovascular, CoQ10 Supreme Ubiquinol, and vascular carnitine, as well as mitochondrial catalysts. That helps to repair the conduction pathways because they usually are calcification, and the imidaquinone 7 will help reverse that. You can see if there's conduction pathway problems with a His bundle study, which the cardiologist can do with a catheter through his groin.
Mm-hmm.
They can also do a Holter monitor to see what's going on. Usually the atria is swollen because a person or stretched, and that stretch is from hypertension, and the abnormal metabolism is causing atrial fibrillation, which by the time we reach the seventh decade, one-seventh of the population suffer atrial fib.
What is this about restarting the heart?
It's not a full restart at all. No, it's only, instead of 400 joules, it's 50 joules. And all they do is they just do a zap. They just zap you, and it's actually not that dangerous.
It couldn't kill you, could it?
No, it's actually something that I would say it's okay if you're maintaining, number one, adequate levels of magnesium in the blood. Most Americans, only 5 to 10% of Americans have adequate magnesium in their blood. If you get less than 1.1 milligram per deciliter, your heart stops. I did the original research over 40 years ago when I was a resident that actually brought it to the advanced cardiac life support with the head of the American College of Surgeons. So I'm one of the few doctors in the world that actually got magnesium added to ACLS over 40 years ago.
What about the colonoscopy? That question.
I don't agree with it at all. Colonoscopy is something that, to me, is a cash cow for general internists and gastroenterologists. You do first an ultrasound of your colon and your abdomen, and you look for polyps. You also can do a stool called blood, and there's a test called the GI test for colon cancer, colon cancer markers. If the colon cancer marker test and the ultrasound show polyps, the next test to do is a spiral thin section CT scan and a PET scan to look for colon cancer. 1 in 100 to 1 in 1,000, it varies depending on how good you are, punctures the bowel, which is really catastrophic. And almost 1/3 of the people that get colonoscopies get infected with unsterilized colonoscopes that are not fully cleaned from the previous person that had a pathogen in their gut. So in other words, they do not do proper cold sterilization. If they wanted to cold sterilize these, because they can't, because the materials would actually anneal under very high temperatures, they should have 5 atmosphere pressures with ozone and leave it in the chamber for a period of hours to kill off all the pathogens, but they don't. So as a result, we don't have an ozonated, what's called hyperbaric, autoclaving system for sterilizing these instruments that would otherwise not tolerate regular autoclaving. And as a result, they carry pathogens like fungi, bacteria, it can be deadly, things like anaerobic bacteria in your gut that can give you colon cancer or deconjugate toxins. Mm-hmm. The colonoscopy is a stupid technology that should never, ever be used. There's lots of alternatives, including CT scans and PET scans and other things, and the GI test for the colon cancer marker for cancer, because that's what you're looking for. You look for polyps in the ultrasound, and you do a GI test for colon cancer. If it's there, you go straight to a CT scan, spiral CT, and PET scan, period.
Joe Bill from New Mexico.
Does that make sense? That's medicine, by the way.
Yes,
this is
Joe.
Not naturopathy or chiropractic. This is medicine, which is what I do.
Joe Bill?
Right.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
From New Mexico.
Yeah.
I recently bought 3 bottles of the Red Deer Velvet DR and 1 bottle of Nutridyne. I have kept them refrigerated. Should either of these 2 products be kept refrigerated or not?
It's always safer to have them refrigerated. You want them away from heat and light. But it's not necessary. As long as you get them away from heat and light, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well,
what kind of heat would actually destroy it?
Well, if you have
like
near a stove, probably over 95 to 100 degrees for a period of time in direct light sunlight, things like that would be bad.
So over 95 is the...
Over 95 to 100. And the other thing is you want to keep them away, the Nutridyne away from magnetic fields too. Because what happens when you put it through a Tesla field, it's hundreds of thousands of Tesla to actually shatter the ionic bonds, because I know other people are pushing nascent iodine and other things. These people are knuckleheads. They don't understand that the Edgar Cayce iodine has to be monoatomic Tesla activated. And I have the only contract engineer that worked for NASA in the world that actually knows how to make it properly according to the prophecies from Edgar Cayce. We have the only Nutridyne in the world. Everybody else is a liar, liar pants on fire.
Bill, our friend Steve there from Missouri that was diagnosed, or someone that his doctor told him that he had Parkinson's or thought he had Parkinson's,
right.
And he had his MRI. Didn't you have a good... a report on that? He doesn't?
Yeah, his MRI...
What happened with him? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. I actually took his history. He can have more than one problem rather than just one problem, because the doctor was trying to make it just one issue. And I learned a long time ago, back in medical school in the 70s, that when you hear hoofbeats, they're probably horses and not zebras.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do the test, like an MRI scan, you don't see changes in the tectum of his midbrain below the fourth ventricle. And he's got symptoms of peripheral neuropathy, and he's got a central motion disorder, a tremor of his hands. He can have a benign tremor that related to the subthalamic nuclei and has nothing to do with Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's will associate with astral images and dementia and, really bad stuff going on where somebody goes into what we call a fugue state. He has none of those signs. And it's my feeling that we can do preventive care to make sure he doesn't get it down the road, because Parkinson's is increasing in frequency because of electropollution, because the areas of the substantia nigra area part of the brain and dopamine, and what they use is they use drugs that actually accelerate the degeneration of that part of the brain with carbidopa, levodopa, and their other drugs. For example, they've been using drugs too for stopping dementia, and it actually increases what's called the butyrylcholinesterase enzymes that actually make your brain deteriorate faster. So you take it supposedly for the doctor to try to prevent things. It actually speeds up your neurodegeneration. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. And that's in the published literature. But most doctors don't read.
Okay.
Nasty, eh?
Most doctors don't read. Maybe
they don't read their own journals.
Maybe they don't read the right
stuff. No, it's in their own journals. Cardiology journals.
Sure they read.
They don't read their own journals because they don't have the scientific background to understand their PhD colleagues in the same specialty. It's in neurology journals. You can read it in their own neurology journals. Not in some conspiracy theory thing, in their own journals.
Who's on next, Bill?
We're going to have Keisha Rogers.
Oh.
She is one of the, she's a wonderful, young black lady who's running against Al Green in the District of Houston. She's an independent for Trump and part of the LaRouche Foundation. She'll be on, we'll be drumming for her to get her elected in Houston. And then Gary Richard Arnold, hour 3. Go ahead.
Well, we just saw her picture, and she's really cute. She's pretty. So I'm going to go, and I want to say God bless you. We'll see you back next week. Send me in your emails and questions and everything else. And
you do
just,
a wonderful
if you
job.
Just want to talk, just call into 888-212-8871 and ask for Michelle. I'm usually here, and I love to talk.
I'm the heart of Newton Medical. You're the soul. How's that?
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM-ACAM-A4M of NutraMedical.com. And a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical grade nutraceuticals, initial testing and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.